The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
New NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, day three recap here on Fantasy Football Today, and we just have some news in. The Bengals making a big splash, signing left tackle Orlando Brown, arguably the top free agent, at least of all the players who are actually going to change teams free agent-wise. You know, Daniel Jones and Lamar Jackson and whatnot. Forget about the quarterbacks. Top free agent was probably that left tackle, Orlando Brown. He's going to the Cincinnati Bengals. Also today, we'll talk about the Cowboys running backs as Ezekiel Elliott was released. Miles Sanders to the Panthers. Jamal Williams to the Saints. Aaron Rodgers saying he wants to be a Jet. We're waiting for that to happen. Ugh. Jamie, got your bracket filled out yet? That was stressful enough for me.
No, I'll do it probably first thing in the morning.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I filled it out. Got some surprises in there. I got Duke in the finals. Duke. I don't even like
Miami
Duke.
Is going how far for you?
I took him to the Sweet 16, but I really think if Omir doesn't play, you should probably pick them to lose in round one. Definitely round two. It's a shame. They were healthy. They could really make a real run, but all right.
Yeah.
Okay, so biggest winner from day three. It's just me and Jamie tonight, by the way. And biggest winner from day three would be who for you?
Biggest winner from day three, I guess you got to go Tony Pollard. You know, just looking at the news that we thought would happen, eventually happening, you know, that Ezekiel Elliott's going to be released. And so I don't think they're done. So I do think that this is a destination for a rookie running back, especially that there's no long-term commitment, at least as of now, to Tony Pollard, who's coming off the broken fibula. But you got to look at him as a winner, just knowing that he's going to get the chance to be the lead guy in the Cowboys' backfield, again, as of now. And we saw what that looked like for a three-game stretch this season. It was just unbelievable. So
yeah,
getting Tyron Smith back is big for Pollard and just, you know, Mike McCarthy's sentiment about wanting to run the ball more. So he could just be you said it earlier this offseason that if this happened, he could be a top five running back. And he's pretty close.
Hey, man, he was. Well, he played two games without Zeke. He scored 33.7 points against the Bears, 21.8 at the Packers. That's in PPR. And he only had four catches in those two games. So he had four rushing touchdowns and 131 yards in one game, 115 yards in the other on the ground. Then Zeke came back, and in the last in weeks 8 through 15 for Tony Pollard, that's when he was getting, you know, a good amount of work. He got hurt in week 16. He didn't play that much in week 18, missed week 17. Weeks 8 through 15, he was the number four running back in fantasy. He was the number two running back per game. Per game. So that was in a timeshare with Zeke for a lot of that. Pretty unbelievable. And with him losing a lot of touchdowns to Zeke as well. So, yeah, you got a coach who says he wants to run the ball more and slow things down a little bit more. What could go wrong other than a rookie running back for Tony Pollard?
I mean, you know, there's still some veterans out there that, you know, you could see, you know, the Cowboys maybe having some interest in, you know, a Leonard Fournette, a Kareem Hunt, you know, somebody of that caliber. You could, you know, like aside from a rookie, I don't know, you know, but those are the two scenarios, you know, just them saying that they want to have another veteran presence. And I saw someone suggest that the Alexander Mattison contract is going to mean a restructure or a release for Dalvin Cook. I think that'd be a little surprised at this point if they released him. The Saints, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Alvin Kamara and what the situation is there. Joe Mixon, I know they restructured his deal, but you never know. Joe Mixon, you know, is he going to be somebody that survives his situation with Cincinnati? And any of those guys, I think, would be of interest to the Cowboys if they decide to go that route. But again, you know, as we sit here today, you know, Khalil Herbert, big winner. Tony Pollard, big winner. You know, anytime these guys shed competition and get in good situations, you got to be excited about it.
Absolutely. So we do have a draft next week, and we'll find out where Tony Pollard goes. But I can't imagine he's making it past. He's not going to make it past round three because he wasn't doing that a month ago. Is Tony Pollard going to make it past round two next week as things stand right now?
Yeah, I moved him into my top 10. I haven't really decided where I'm going to settle on it yet because I'm just catching up on some of the moves in my rankings. And so by the time you take a look, if you're so inclined, he may have crept up a couple spots. But it's like, how much do you trust the Cowboys leading running back versus Derrick Henry at this point? Like, I moved ahead of Travis Etienne, for example. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about Ramondre Stevenson too. You know, so, you know, two guys that I'd like to have a lot of stock in. And I think if I want them, I have to be somewhat aggressive in them. So they're not going to be first round picks, but they're going to be pretty high second round picks for me.
Ramondre Stevenson gets a little bit of backfield competition with James Robinson going to the Patriots. We can discuss that in a little bit. And I think the last thing I'll say about Pollard is we just don't know how the Cowboys view him. Do they view him as a guy who can handle the workload? He's not the biggest guy in terms of weight. And we heard it from the running backs coach at one point last year that they wanted to keep him around 30 snaps per game. And then he started obliterating that. But, you know, he had two injuries. He got injured in week 16 and then he got hurt badly in the playoff game against 49ers. So we don't know how they view him in that regard.
I will say just, you know, we're going to touch on this a lot, but if you can make ad drops in your dynasty leagues now, please go make sure Malik Davis is not rostered. Is not available. He should be rostered.
Yeah.
Just because if they don't do anything, that's the guy. That's the number two guy.
It is bracket time, folks. All right. If you're listening, you know, watching right now on Wednesday night or listening shortly thereafter, you know, after we record and it's tomorrow, or if you're listening right now and it's Thursday, hey, you better hurry up and get those brackets in and do it on the CBS Sports app. You can play in men's and women's pools with friends and join our challenges for the chance to win a new car, trips to the 2024 Final Four. You can get the CBS Sports app or visit cbssports.com/play to start filling out your brackets. No purchase necessary. See terms and rules for details. Biggest loser from Wednesday, Jamie. Biggest loser.
Biggest loser from Wednesday.
I got one if you need some time. I got two.
Sure.
Tampa Bay wide receivers.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, they're signing Baker Mayfield. He, as of now, is going to compete with Kyle Trask. And this really jumped out at me. Tampa Bay has been top six in pass attempts and top two in passing yards five straight seasons. That's amazing. They were 12th in touchdown passes in 2022, but before that, they were top three, four straight seasons. So basically, they were the highest pass volume team, most prolific in yards, typically in touchdowns, for five straight seasons. That was Jameis and Fitzpatrick, then it was Jameis, then it was 3 years of Brady. So obviously, Godwin and Evans are really good. But of course, anybody benefits from that volume. You're not going to run that kind of offense with Baker Mayfield. So I don't know what it's going to look like for them. What do you think about the Bucs wide receivers?
I dropped Godwin closer to 20, and Evans is outside my top 24. So I'd rather have the two Jaguars receivers at this point than Mike Evans, or Mike Williams than Mike Evans. I'd rather have four of the sophomore wide receivers, two of which ahead of Godwin, but Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and then Drake London and Christian Watson ahead of Mike Evans. So I'm with you. I'm very concerned and nervous about what this passing game is going to look like, because we'll find out, you know, just how much they're going to trust Baker, like you said, with the volume. You know, will they allow him to make those type of those type of attempts, or is it just going to be that, you know, maybe these wide receivers elevate him? Look, give Baker credit. He played well when he went to the Rams at the end of last season. Not that he was lighting up the scoreboard, but he certainly looked more confident and competent, and, you know, better than he did with the Panthers at any stretch. And he's never had this level of wide receivers, even though he had OBJ and Jarvis Landry. You know, these guys are clearly on a different level. So, yeah.
And those guys, you know, both went over 1,000 yards in the same season. So That was a case I was making for DJ Moore last year. Like, oh, Baker stinks. Well, actually, before last year, he wasn't really that bad, except, well, okay, 2021, Baker was really bad, but he played hurt the entire season. He got hurt in week two. Played hurt the entire season. I don't know what happened with him in Carolina, Jamie. That was the worst version of Baker Mayfield ever. He was so bad in Carolina. As you said, he was better with the Rams. So, once upon a time, he had a pretty good connection with Jarvis Landry. Not terrible with Odell Beckham. It's a lot to consider there. And like maybe
it was terrible with Beckham compared to where Beckham was prior to getting with Baker, and then what Beckham showed us with the Rams as well. You know, so I would say it was pretty bad.
All right. Okay. Well, then maybe that's a case for Godwin, you know, because he's more like
I would hope so.
Yeah. So you said all those guys that you have ranked ahead of Evans. Do you have Mike Williams? Do you have Drake London ranked ahead of Godwin?
No, I'm not there yet. But I did, you know, for example, move Keenan Allen ahead of Chris Godwin. You know, the fact that he's staying in Los Angeles, I think just, you know, they have a similar type of game, you know, slot receiver, high volume targets, high volume receptions. I'll take the quarterback boost even with the age difference there. So that was one move that I made. But I right now I have Godwin right before the two sophomore guys in London and Watson.
He's still a pretty
good. That's in PPR, non-PPR. I would take the younger.
Chris Godwin had 104 catches in 15 games last year.
He's amazing, but you know this is it's a different offense now.
It's got to be completely different. Is this just an avoid offense?
No, because you know if you get Rashad White at the right price, you know I think they're going to do their best to run the ball more. They're clearly got to be in the market for offensive line help. You know, they just got rid of Shaq Mason. So, you know, this is a team that if I'm the Bucks, you know, I was having this conversation with a Bucks fan, like I'd want them to tank. I want them to trade Evans at this point, you know, because he's still a commodity. I think that a team would covet and, you know, see if you can go tank and get Caleb Williams.
Oh my gosh, Caleb Williams, USC's quarterback guy is amazing. That's going to be a race to the bottom for that number one pick. All right, let's take a quick break here. Come back and talk about some more of the news, some more stats for you. Miles Sanders, I got stats on him. Jamal Williams, good one on him, going to the Saints instead of the Lions. Jacoby Myers versus Juju Smith-Schuster now. We can debate who we like better, although the Patriots, according to reports, you know, they don't want to be done. So they're very active trying to get some help for Mac Jones. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Wednesday night. It is 10:40 p.m. I am Jamie. Kept us up tonight, man. I am sleepy. Ooh, man.
Had a walk-off walk for my 10-year-old's Little League game.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
We were up 7-6, 7-5. Gave up 2 runs to tie it. And then we were the home team. So loaded the bases, and then they walked. The kid.
You got. I mean, there are so. How many walks in a game?
Usually so my older one, he plays. You know, he's 10. He plays with 12-year-olds. Not as many walks. Pitching's a little bit better.
That's good.
My 8-year-old though, it's first time kid pitch for them. They actually threw 81 pitches on Saturday with no walks, which was couldn't believe it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, 3 pitchers. My son was 41 pitches. He had the most. 29 strikes, no walks.
All right, and before we get back into football, Let's just see how many people we have in our bracket challenge as of 10:41 p.m. on Wednesday night. We are up to 2,100. So that's pretty good. Over 2,000 brackets in. And good luck to all of you. I have a somewhat surprised champion. I'm not gonna tell you who. I'll tell you after they're all submitted.
They came to.
That's surprising. Also, Thomas Schaefer is not pictured today, but he's behind the scenes. He is wearing a ski cap or like a hoodie. Like, I mean, what do they call that? Skull cap. Why? You're living in Fort Lauderdale. I can't imagine. It's cold. It's like, what's going on there?
My girlfriend blasts the AC. I've been living with her for 2 years and I'm still not used to it. Like, I like a 75, yeah. Honestly.
Yeah.
She likes like, yeah,
yep.
You know, it's not, you're not fighting humidity. So 75 inside is a lot different than 75 outside.
Yeah. That's what I set my heat to when the heat's on. 75 is beautiful.
Yeah. So right, she blasts the AC. Bundle so up. I'm bundled up all day, all the time.
All right. Okay. Back to the news here. Aaron Rodgers says he wants to play for the Jets. I'm waiting until something's official before we say that Aaron Rodgers is on the Jets, but he wants to be there. Some other quarterback news. Falcons signing Taylor Heinicke, 2-year deal worth up to $20 million. Washington expected to sign Jacoby Brissett. Carolina signed Andy Dalton and Hayden Hurst and Miles Sanders. Let's come back to that real quick. What do you think about Taylor Heinicke with Atlanta?
I think it gives them a capable backup if Desmond Ridder struggles and they don't feel comfortable with him as maybe their long-term solution. You know, I always look at these guys that, you know, find opportunities where there's a potential for them to play. And I think for Taylor Heinicke, he found one of those. So if Ridder doesn't necessarily get the job done and they're losing and they're just tired of it, you know, they may go to Heinicke. So hopefully Ridder does well. But I like the move for Heinicke's perspective.
It's Raffles on our YouTube says 75 degrees. Okay, Satan. It's not that hot. We'll see what Washington does. But right now, Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett. I mean, the thing is, Jamie, like, if you look at last year, there weren't that many good wide receivers. The really impactful wide receivers were pretty much all of the guys we took in the first two rounds. And then you had some surprises, of course. But you can't be that picky with wide receiver right now. So you're going to have to go with some guys on bad offenses. But, man, it seems like a lot of teams are just not going to be good at quarterback.
Well, you want those type of players to be your third receiver, and you want them to just hopefully soak up targets. And so, you know, you got two guys in Washington in Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson that survived some bad quarterback play last year. Clearly McLaurin was not the player that we hoped he would be, but he had some good moments. And Dotson, when he played, was a very good fantasy option because he scored a lot of touchdowns. So we'll see if Sam Howell, who looked okay in his one start, you know, if how he does this offseason. And maybe he is their guy and can end up being a nice surprise starter for not just Washington, but maybe fantasy managers too.
Yeah, Brissett was pretty good for Cooper. It was a little surprising, actually. It was a lot better for Cooper than Watson was. All right, let's talk about the Panthers here. And, well, let's talk about their passing game. We'll do running back separately since that's where we have the most news. Dalton and Hayden Hurst in the fold now for Carolina. So, it can't be a complete picture right now. They definitely need some more help, but they got the number one pick in the draft. What are you thinking right now about the Panthers passing game? Is there anyone that's interesting you in any capacity?
Yeah, Hayden Hurst is interesting if you have a deeper roster and you take two tight ends. He's not the type of guy that's going to he's never going to become the guy that we hoped he would when the Ravens drafted him. What seems like 10 years ago, but he had some good moments last year with the Bengals. I mean, you said it's incomplete. We just don't know who the quarterback's going to be, you know. So Dalton may start the first couple of weeks until they turn it over to either C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, or, you know, if they really surprise us and take Anthony Richardson or Will Levis. But I think at this point, it's just a matter of the rookie connecting with somebody on this team, and this receiving core is as incomplete as you'll find.
All right, running back news. Miles Sanders going to Carolina. And isn't that a James Taylor song? Oh, Carolina, something like that. Thank you, Jamie. Chat, is that a James Taylor song? There's like a Carolina on my mind song. So that's the biggest running back news today. We also have the Saints signing Jamal, or they're going to sign Jamal Williams to a 3-year deal with $8 million guaranteed. Minnesota keeping Alexander Mattison. The Patriots signing James Robinson to a 2-year deal, could be worth up to $8 million. So starting with Miles Sanders, give me a round. Where is he going? Is he a fifth-round pick?
I think that's a good spot for him once we see who the quarterback is. You know, I'll eventually have him. I sunk him today. You know, when I updated my rankings, I'll bring him back up to the range that he was in before this. But I do think that he's in that Isaiah Pacheco, James Conner, Tyler Algier type of range. You know, round five, round six of a guy that you'll settle for. You know, good zero RB target if he's able to, you know, get past that, you know, dead zone-ish range. But if you build your team a certain way, you know, he's going to get a lot of work. At least that's the expectation. Frank Reich's offense have been very good for running backs. And so hopefully, you know, they paid him with the idea of, you know, being the lead guy. It's just a matter of what they'll do to surround him. You know, so Chuba Hubbard, you know, seems like he's going to be the number two guy. But if they don't have a good quarterback, it's going to be tough for him to be very productive.
Yeah, but at the same time, and Damian Pierce was really good, right? And even Deontay Foreman had his moments. Damian Pierce, obviously not the same team, but bad quarterback play and low expectations. So really, you just want volume. You need something in the passing game. Are you going to get that from Miles Sanders?
You know, once upon a time, he was a 50 catch guy. I think if you want to just use the coaching staff there, you know, Frank Reich 2 years ago got 35 or almost 40 catches out of Jonathan Taylor. You know, so I think that's a safe range for him, but I don't think you can get 50 again.
Yeah. All right. All right. So you said the same range as Pacheco, Algier. I'm trying to think there's anyone else. Javonte Williams.
Oh, I'd much rather have Javonte Williams. I'd rather have Khalil Herbert, for example. I'd rather have Sanders than Rashad Penny. I'd rather have Sanders than the Dolphins guys. You know, so it's kind of like that's where he'll fall.
I'm a little terrified of Javonte Williams right now. Just no idea if he's healthy. It was a really bad injury.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. It's just, you know, we're ranking and, you know, drafting, and I think anybody that's doing any, you know, dynasty drafts, startup drafts, it's on the hope that he can get back to what he was, which is a hope. We don't know.
Miles Sanders, by the way, he's played four seasons. In three of them, he has finished between RB20 and RB22 per game in PPR. He's never finished higher than RB20. His best stretch was in his rookie season after Jordan Howard got injured. Miles Sanders was an absolute stud. He has not been the same since then. Remember, he had a zero touchdown year in 2021. That was just weird. Maybe it was 2020. All right. The Cowboys released Ezekiel Elliott. We talked about that for Tony Pollard. We'll see where Zeke ends up. I will honestly, I said it a couple weeks ago, I think. I got to give him a lot of credit. If I looked at all of the goal line carries for Pollard and Zeke was really good. He scored a touchdown on 8 of 11 carries from inside the 1 or inside the 2-yard line. Much better ratio than Pollard. And he was really good. He broke a lot of tackles. That was a role that he thrived in. Maybe that's the only role he can thrive in, but credit to Zeke for that. The Saints signed Jamal Williams to a 3-year deal worth $12 million, up to $12 million, with $8 million guaranteed. So Jamal Williams, Jamie, he goes from a team that led the league in carries, running back carries from inside the 5-yard line with 38, went from first to a team that was last in that category. The Saints had 7 running back carries from inside the 5-yard line last year. The Lions had 38. That does not include Taysom Hill, by the way, for the Saints. But anyway, what do you think about the Saints' backfield right now with Kamara's status in question and now Jamal Williams there?
I mean, I think it's kind of bad for both of them. Williams is going to get nowhere close to 17 touchdowns. You know, he'll be lucky to probably score 7 or 8. Because not just you have Kamara there, you also have, as you mentioned, Taysom Hill takes a lot of those opportunities if, you know, he's still on the team. And as I say that is because the guy who invented Taysom Hill is now a coach on another team. So, you know, he wouldn't be surprised at this.
Invented him.
He did, you know, created this opportunity for Taysom Hill. The reason that you'd be drafting Jamal Williams, aside from a Kamara injury, is clearly a Kamara suspension. You know, so if he's suspended, and Williams gets those opportunities, you know, I can't wait to hear you say he's the worst running back in the NFL because he'll have terrible yards per carry and, you know, just do things that Jamal Williams does, but he'll probably have a lot of volume. Yeah. So just to like compare a free agent move, I'd rather have Samaje Perine at this point than Jamal Williams.
So there was something that really jumped out at me. I was reading in The Athletic yesterday, and it wasn't a quote from Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson, but it was a summary of what he said. So I'll just read from The Athletic. Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson recently said he wanted to see the run game take a step forward in 2023. He felt Lions running backs didn't maximize the opportunities created by the offensive line, hoping to turn 4 and 5 yard runs into runs of 8, 9 or more. So that was an article about David Montgomery, but it's also about Jamal Williams. And it might even be about DeAndre Swift, who was terrifically efficient last year. But if you've heard Dan Schneier, who's broken down the tape on DeAndre Swift, Schneier thinks he's missed a lot of holes. So, I mean, I don't see it, but I don't break down the tape, but it's possible. But I thought that was interesting that, you know, think about that for David Montgomery. If the Lions think that he can take advantage of the blocking and turn those into bigger runs, that's something to think about. But it also, I think, is an indictment on Jamal Williams. So something that just jumped out at me.
Sure.
Minnesota re-signing Alexander Mattison. He had, I think, 74 carries last year. Guess how long his longest rush was? 74 carries. His long was what?
18 yards.
15 yards. Yikes. That's not good. And actually, Dalvin Cook didn't miss any time, but in 4 of the last 6 games that Dalvin Cook has missed, Alexander Mattison has scored 21 or more PPR fantasy points. And the Patriots signed James Robinson to a 2-year deal. It's a pretty small contract. What do you think this means for Ramondre Stevenson, if anything?
I love it. You know, this is what I would consider, just based on how they both looked last year, I think it's a downgrade from Damien Harris. You know, so James Robinson, I hope he can, you know, find some sort of role, some opportunity to get playing time, but I think Ramondre Stevenson is the guy, you know, and we'll find out what they do, because neither of these guys, you know, you've noted this, despite the fact that Ramondre Stevenson was such a big factor in the passing game, that's not necessarily what he profiled to be.
Yeah.
And so will Pierre Strong, you know, be somebody who kind of goes back to that third down role that the Patriots have made famous for many years, that Tom Brady invented. But, you know, that made the Danny Woodheads, the James Whites, you know, all those guys. Can we see, you know, maybe another guy working in those type of opportunities? So, Ramondre Stevenson is firmly entrenched in the second round for me.
Wow. That's interesting. You think you're going to be high on him comparatively?
We'll see. I think a lot of people in the fantasy community are high on him. Knowing that this is a team that will be committed to running the ball, I think more competent offensive play calling. He's clearly, you know, going to be the benefactor of all that. So unless they go out and draft somebody, I think the way that his season looked in the beginning of the year will hopefully carry over for the majority of the season.
All right, I just asked our audience here, 12-team league, give me a round for Ramondre Stevenson. So we'll see what people are saying. I said PPR, give me, come on. 9th round, 7th round, 5th round. That's a little bit low here. 4th round. Are we just going to count down? All right, so we're going to take a break here. I'll let you know the results when we come back. And we'll also talk about the wide receivers. Do we like Juju Smith-Schuster or Jakobi Meyers better this year? We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob? Well, all
right. Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, back one final time here talking about day three of free agency. Still waiting for some Aaron Rodgers news. We still have Damian Harris out there. Any other chips that you're looking to see fall?
DeAndre Hopkins trade, Brandon Cooks trade, you know, the or release for those two. Running back wise, you know, Joe Mixon, see if something happens there, but it doesn't seem like that that's likely at this point. Any other running backs out there? No, I think Sanders and Williams signing today was, you know, the two bigger names that were available. Kareem Hunt, I guess, is something to see. And then receiver wise, DJ Chark, I guess, might be the next big name, but I don't think that's exactly the most sexy name.
I'd rather have Chark, but I think Slayton's a little underrated.
I agree.
You know, neither of those guys are going to be fantasy stars, but people play in 14 team, 16 team leagues.
I think a good comp would be, you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling getting a 3-year deal by the Chiefs last year. You know, that's the type of thing I think you could see for those type of guys.
Yeah.
They're big play threats.
Yeah. Boy, I can't wait to talk about Christian Watson, by the way. I'm not going to do it tonight, but eventually when this Rodgers thing gets done, like I have a lot to say about Christian Watson. Looking forward to it.
In a positive way or negative?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the only thing that scares me is Jordan Love. If Rodgers was coming back, I think Watson would have a great chance to be the steal of drafts. But more on that another time. All right, just one big wide receiver news item, and it's Juju Smith-Schuster. 3 years, $33 million, $22.5 million guaranteed, not $22.50 guaranteed. But he had looks basically the same contract as Jacoby Myers, a little bit more guaranteed money. Going to Myers' old team, who would you rather have in fantasy right now? And there are rumors that the Patriots are inquiring about DeAndre Hopkins and Jerry Jeudy, but as it stands right now, Juju or Jacoby?
Juju. You know, I think give that guy credit, you know, for or his management, his agent. They found in now consecutive seasons great opportunities. You know, clearly the one with the Chiefs was better on paper because of Mahomes, but you know, going to a team that had just lost its number one wide receiver, okay, he did that now back-to-back years. You know, going to a Patriots team that lost its number one receiver. Clearly the opportunity is there for him to be their slot receiver and, you know, hopefully get a lot of targets from Mac Jones and Bill O'Brien can maximize his potential. I don't think he's ever going to get back to the level that he was with Pittsburgh. You look at what happened last season with Juju, and I think we talked about this recently, that he went into that Jaguars game with his best three-game stretch prior to it, suffered the concussion, I believe it was week 10, and then had a decent two games in weeks 13 and 14. One was against Denver, which was a surprise. One was against Houston. And then really struggled until the Super Bowl when they got 9 targets and 7 catches. And so I think the Super Bowl stat line is something that you should kind of anticipate. 6 catches, 7 catches, 50 yards, 60 yards, you know, maybe he gets the 6 touchdowns that Jacoby Myers just left. So a good number 3 receiver. I think that's kind of just the way he should be viewed at this point. You know, never going to get back to being that top 12 type of receiver.
Yeah, I tried to figure out what the heck happened to Juju Smith-Schuster after that concussion and why his numbers went so south. Because in his first 8 games, he was the number 20 wide receiver in PPR. He was number 24 per game. He was on pace for 128 targets, 94 catches, over 1,200 yards. He barely got targeted inside the 10-yard line. He often came off the field. The Chiefs were just really weird with their personnel near the goal line. So the touchdowns were low. What's that?
The ring around the rosy
play. Yeah, exactly. And then the next 2 games after the injury, he played 38% of the snaps in both games. So that was probably the one with the injury and then the first game back. Last 6 games, he's on pace for just 96 targets. But here's what happened in those games. Patrick Mahomes threw a lot less, actually. Patrick Mahomes was throwing over 40 times per game when Juju was really going early, and then he was about 36 per game, something like that, after. And that's the problem I have with Juju. If you want any upside, I don't think we're going to make the upside case for Juju. I'll get your take on that, but he's had 3 good seasons. His rookie season was good for a rookie. His second season was 1,400 yards. Last year was a solid season. You know, solid to good. The only times he's been good is when he's been on these really high pass volume teams. Roethlisberger leading the league in pass attempts and Mahomes, you know, the Chiefs leading the Chiefs. So that's not going to be the case. He's never commanded a huge target share. So I don't know. It's hard to make an upside case for him. Can you make an upside case for him? Or do you think strictly think he's just, you know, 11, 12 PPR points, something like that, and number three guy?
I think that's probably the best realistic situation for him. But again, you know, do we know what Mac Jones is? Because rookie with Josh McDaniels, sophomore season with Patricia, Joe Judge, terrible. And then, you know, now we'll find out, you know, with a better play caller, better system. But you're still looking at an offense right now, and this is where Juju, I think, benefits. The three receivers that they'll roll out there, unless I'm missing somebody, is going to be Devontae Parker, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Tyquan Thornton. And so, you know, I think if you're still looking at, you know, how you would label them, Parker's still the alpha from what he's been able to do. Juju is the slot receiver, and Tyquan's the deep threat. And so do all those guys all take a step forward, or does Juju maybe just come in as the most proven commodity and hopefully, you know, his role based on what you saw from Mac Jones with Jacoby Myers, does that kind of, you know, take the lead role there? But I think you're going to get a bump from Hunter Henry as well. I think that's something that you'll see. He's somebody I think that you can consider a winner from free agency with the Jonnu Smith trade. It really comes down to just Mac Jones, you know, just are they going to just be game manage, run the ball, lean on their defense? Then nobody's going to be very good, you know. So 120 targets is probably where you're maxed out with Juju if he plays 17 games.
I think their fourth receiver would be Kendrick Bourne. I don't know if you considered him, but yeah, their top three receivers would probably be Parker, Myers, and Thornton.
Juju.
Sorry, Juju. I mean, they're the same guy. Come on.
They really are.
And Myers was wide receiver 29 per game last year, I believe. So it could just... Juju could just fill that role right there. How big of a deal is Orlando Brown going to the Bengals?
I mean, look, he's arguably the best free agent offensive lineman available. You know, clearly the Chiefs didn't feel that way by signing Jawan Taylor. Great get by the Bengals. You know, they've made this a priority the last 2 years. I wonder if they're going to play him at the left side or the right side. You know, so that's something to keep an eye on and how they view him. He was a right tackle previously. So it's just getting a player – probably at this point more name than game, to steal a phrase from Pete Briscoe, you know, that his name probably carries more recognition than the way he played last year. Cause I think a lot of people look at it and don't really think he was the same type of player that he was in previous seasons, which is why the Chiefs made the decision to move on from him. But still, you know, a player that helps an offense and, you know, one of the best offenses in football right now, they just got a little bit better today. So I like that for Joe Burrow and that offense.
I wonder if he's going to play right tackle. Because they got Jonah Williams, and Brown used to be a right tackle, but then he was insistent on becoming a left tackle. I think he said he had made a promise to his father to play left tackle, his father, a former offensive lineman. So now I wonder what's going to happen there. I mean, this just broke just before we went on the show, so I don't have any information on that. I want to read a couple of Twitter polls for you. Well, one Twitter poll and one Twitter question. So the first one was, you're an NFL GM. Who would you rather sign as a free agent? I put this out 3 days ago. Remember, these two wide receivers are the same age, Jacoby Myers or Juju Smith-Schuster. And they got about the same contract. And Jacoby Myers is 12 days older than Juju, even though Juju's been in the league longer. Myers got 70% of the vote. So I thought that was pretty interesting. There was, I guess, a perception that Myers was a lot better. And people are like, oh, Juju's bad locker room guy. I don't know. He dances at midfield. I don't know if he's a bad locker room guy. What would you have voted?
I think Juju. You know, when they're both playing, I think at their best, Juju is the better player.
Yeah, that's what I think as well. But Juju's had better quarterbacks than Myers, so we'll see. And then the second one, I just posted this because the people on YouTube, you didn't really give me what much. You're not getting Ramondre Stevenson in round 7. All right, so I asked on Twitter, 12-team PPR league, in what round are you taking Ramondre Stevenson? And let's see, 4-5, 4-5, no Patriots, 2-3 turn, back of the 6th, round 1, round 6, round 6, round 3. So I'm thinking that ADP, based on the Twitter responses, is round 4. So I think you will be the high guy on Ramondre Stevenson, or one of the high guys. You ready to own that?
I mean, you know, once we get past the draft, we'll find out.
Okay. Very good. That's it for tonight, folks. Enjoy March
More
Madness.
News. This happened.
Oh, what happened?
Darius Slay.
Two?
Nowhere. Staying in Philly.
Get the hell out of here. Really?
They never wanted to release him, and I guess they found a way to work it out.
Oh, good for them. Both cornerbacks back. They are losing some pieces, but they got Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, and both of their starting cornerbacks back. That's good news for the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, folks. Have a good night. I'm exhausted. We'll talk to you when Aaron Rodgers signs with the Jets. I can't tell you what our podcast plans are for the rest of the week. If there's breaking news, we'll be there for it. But we'll be around. We'll talk to you soon. Later, everybody.
Let's go! It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.